Why do we produce the IMC Radio News?
Because the chasm isn't left to right. It's top to bottom.
To give voice to people who aren't heard.
To bust up the myth of objective journalism.
Bill O'Reilly does not have a monopoly on the truth.
To build our community and re-educate the public.
To revive the voice of organized labor.
To bring forth debate so as to animate democracy.
Because I want to agitate for revolution.
Listen to the voices of your community on IMC Radio News.
This week on IMC Radio News, a collection of interviews with progressive candidates in the upcoming local elections, an excerpt from the spoken word artist Chelo Biafra's appearance on campus, and a remix of George W.'s Words of War to more accurately portray his aims. But first, these headlines.
The Nation reports that a group called In Touch Ministries has distributed thousands of pamphlets to military personnel in Iraq, which asks the soldiers to pray every day for George Bush. The pamphlet, entitled A Christian's Duty in Time of War, includes a section designed to be filled out and sent to the White House to let the president know that soldiers are praying for him. Prayers for each day of the week are supplied by the ministry. Today's prayer is, quote, pray that the president and his advisors will be strong and courageous to do what is right regardless of critics, unquote. Friday's was, quote, pray that the president and his advisors will recognize their divine appointment, unquote. Mm-hmm. In Touch Ministries explain their motivation, quote, we may not all be in the military, but we are all engaged in warfare, spiritual warfare, unquote.
Wow. The Hindustan Times reports that the United States has asked that only non-Muslims apply for jobs at a U.S. military base in Kuwait. An advertisement seeking lift operators, storekeepers, clerks, typists, security guards, and drivers, which was placed in various Indian newspapers, explained that in order to qualify, applicants had to speak English, be under 35 years old, and not be Muslim. Abdul Rahman, the head of the company contracted to do the hiring for the U.S. military, was clear about where this restriction came from. Quote, the Americans are strict that we should only process applications sent in by non-Muslims, end quote.
The Village Voice reports that CIA analysts have for several months been under pressure by the Bush administration to produce intelligence reports which support the current U.S. agenda in the Middle East. Confiding in government officials and members of Congress, some intelligence analysts have become so frustrated with conditions within the agency that they are considering resignation. The pressure to show a link between Al-Qaeda and Iraq has been compared by some agents to the pressure many of them felt years ago in the Reagan administration, when officials pushed for reports which would support a hard line against the Soviet Union.
The Associated Press reports that the United Way of Tampa Bay has canceled an upcoming event featuring actress Susan Sarandon after getting some three dozen complaints about her anti-war views. Sarandon had been scheduled as the keynote speaker at the April 11th event designed to inspire volunteerism in the community. But when invitations were sent out about 2 weeks ago, the United Way said it received phone calls, emails, and letters criticizing Sarandon's selection because of her anti-war views. Robin Carson, chairman of the board of directors, said the event had the potential to become divisive. Quote, the focus of our whole meeting had shifted to whether or not we were creating a political platform for Susan Sarandon, end quote, Carson said Thursday. Quote, that is not our promise, that is not our purpose, that's not what we're about, end quote.
Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting has conducted a study of the mainstream media's reporting of events leading up to the current crisis in Iraq, and has determined that the major networks are, quote, megaphones for official views, unquote. Their study, which looked at news programs on ABC, CBS, NBC, and PBS between January 30th and February 12th, determined not only that a large majority of the sources the networks used for interviews and commentary in Iraq were Americans, two-thirds, but that two-thirds of these were current and former government officials. Of all official sources, American or other, the large majority, two-thirds again, were in favor of Bush's policies towards Iraq, and only a tiny fraction, 2%, were openly critical. Of all sources, both official government and otherwise, only 17% were at all critical of the U.S., and some of these were persons on the street who were not even identified by name. Fair is asking people to contact the major networks and demand more balanced coverage in the future.
And that wraps up the headlines. Thanks to Kevin for coordinating them and reading them here in the studio. Tomorrow is election day for many of our local political seats, and IMC reporter Janet Lowry brings us the following interviews with prospective progressive politicians.
Champaign and Urbana have local elections coming up tomorrow. That's Tuesday, April 1st. During this last week, I talked with three candidates who have progressive ideas and who are challenging incumbents. Ken Urban is an associate professor of computer science at Parkland College. We spent some time chatting about his campaign for the Champaign City Council, and I asked him, what distinguished him from other candidates?
I tend to be one of the more liberal candidates. I'm one of the two candidates who has come out very much against the war and works hard against the war. I feel that I stand more for individual people as opposed to standing up for business interests. I've been spending a lot of time canvassing areas, going door to door, finding out what people think about issues, rather than me deciding what's going on, how things should be, using my own personal ideas, although they will filter what goes on. I think that going around door to door talking to people is the most important thing a politician can do.
What do you think are the most important issues facing the city council?
Facing the city council, I think, is they need to get input from people. We've gone to meeting after meeting where people have sat there and said, we feel invisible. We feel that the city council isn't listening to us. People don't go to city council meetings. There's generally like just two or three people there unless they manage to find out within the 3 days from when the agenda is released to when the council meeting is. What is going to be on the agenda. People are just not really given an opportunity to be involved. And people and council members need to go out and find and talk to people themselves.
Do you have a vision of actions that you would like to see the city council take?
Yes, I have lots of things that I would like to see. But there's also the reality of the situation where it's going to need 9 votes, and I am only 1 vote. So what I would probably like to do is to see what issues we can bring up, which issues have support from other council members, and work from there. You need community support to do things like, I would love to see recycling in every house in Champaign, but you need a plan to do that. There's a group around town that has that plan together, and we can present that to the council in a fairly short time. I think they've already brought it to the council once. So that sort of thing can be done. So there are a lot of groups doing things out there, and my job is going to be to support those groups, to help those groups take their plans, say that, well, it needs work here, it needs something done here, it'll never pass with this, knowing the city council, and then put it all together.
And what about the living wage issue?
This is another one of those groups that has put together something from their vision. And what they have done is they brought a resolution to the Urbana City Council. They brought a resolution to the Champaign County, and that all county employees are going to make a living wage. That now they're bringing it to the city of Champaign. And this is a group that has a plan, they have a vision, they have facts, they have backers, and this is the type of group that makes government do things, a citizen group. And it's truly wonderful to be involved with them.
And is it something you support?
Oh, certainly, very much so. I've worked very hard with Belden and the rest of the group.
Finally, I asked Ken if he had a philosophy that's guiding his campaign.
It has changed since I started, and has become honed to the fact that as I've gone around and talked to people, I think that a lot of times the city council nowadays is telling people what they should be thinking, what they should have, whereas people are not telling the city council what to do. Government should be run by the people. The government should not be telling the people what to do and what to think.
Later that same day, I caught up with Reverend Zerniel Bogan, who's running for a seat in District 3 for the Urbana School Board. Reverend Bogan, what would you say are some of the key issues in your campaign for the Urbana School Board?
The key issues in my campaign are, one, no child left behind, but I add to that, as well as no child left behind, I also say no child forgotten. Two, educational equity, and three, fiscal responsibility. For an improved curriculum and teacher staff support.
And are those things that you think distinguish you from some of the other candidates or some of the other members of the school board?
I think so, because we haven't had a diverse opinion on these things. It's always been a closed opinion as to how these things should go about or what the vote should be on these things. With a diverse opinion, which represents the community in the minority sense, we have a broader and another aspect of how these things will go.
Is it important for the school board to be getting input from the community? And
it is vitally important. It is so important that I actually feel that any time a decision is made, that the community should be there with that decision being made, that they should actually have a say as to which decision would take precedent over another decision in being made.
Then I asked Reverend Bogan if he would talk a bit about issues facing the school board and actions that he'd like to see the board take.
Well, right now, one of the most important is the teacher budget. We have to be sure that our teachers are getting a salary that is equitable to the living expense. There's no doubt about that. They're worth that. They're worth being able to have a salary that is equitable to your living expense. We have to also remember that the budget that is being cut reflects what it is we need to do as far as changing our tax base. And although we may not be able to change the tax base as one community, we may be able to spearhead a movement that will help our tax base be changed throughout the whole school area as far as Illinois is concerned. Because if we don't change our tax base, there's no way that we can keep up in our school systems. Although the school board is pretty much closed in within certain actions that it can take on a state level, we have to prepare ourselves just like anyone else would have to prepare ourselves and go beyond the standards. We have to set standards for ourselves that will allow all of our children to receive an equitable education so that the filtering of all the properties that come down from the school board into the administration right to our students is given in an equitable stance, not in one that is segregated or is misplaced or is given to another school because of its popularity instead of giving to all schools because of the need. I think the Urbana School District also have to be able to maintain the facilities in such a state as to be able to have the facilities available to our students after administrative school hours. It is then that the student, as it is with the boys clubs and the rest of the clubs, that the student actually begins to really release themselves and relax and to really begin to learn. Those facilities that are available need to be utilized. If we're in a budget crunch as it is, which is more expensive, to pay for a staff member to be there and help the children use the computer room or help them in the gymnasium or help them in the library? Or is it more expensive to continue to send state and tax dollars to the state to pay for inmates each year?
Would you say that you have a guiding philosophy, a key philosophy that's with you in your campaign?
Well, yes, because I believe right now that we have to have an equity representation, a diverse equity representation. There's a vote on the board now, but the vote does not represent the voice of the people. And if we don't have a voice with the vote, it's just an empty ballot as far as we're concerned. We need to have a voice as well as a vote, because a person who speaks up for the children speaks up for the future.
Later in the week, I caught up with Cope Cumston, who is the art director at the University of Illinois Press. Cope is running for a seat in District 4 on the Urbana School Board. We began by talking about the key issues in her campaign.
When I knock on someone's door, the first thing I say is that I'm running for the school board. I'm opposing an incumbent because I want to see some change. I want more effective communication between the school board and the community, the city council, the families of students, the U of I. I feel like there are a lot of channels that have not been as open as I think they need to be to face the issues that are becoming increasingly difficult for any school district to deal with. These are issues of money, issues of dealing with diverse populations of students who come in with very different experiences, issues of getting families involved in their children's education when there are problems.
How do equity issues fit into your campaign?
Well, equity is what That's the buzzword for dealing with disparities in achievement, in discipline, and in our community, they have traditionally focused on differences between the white population and the African American. It's getting more complicated as other populations increase now. I originally got interested in school issues, or not interested, I got involved because when we moved here, my daughter was going into second grade, and we encountered some of the issues that happen when you have students in a classroom with different needs. And I realized that that was one of the most important things for a teacher to be able to deal with in a classroom, so that every child would have an equal chance at learning what they need to learn to move on to the next grade. And I saw that there were barriers in this community, and this is something I'm very interested in. I've been quite involved to find out where we are, where we can go, what the best approach would be. And Urbana itself has had to enter into this conversation because of an equity audit that the district underwent in 1998 that found that there were very significant gaps between achievement in lower-income African-American students and other students. So we have a real equity issue, and then larger issues of just dealing with the increasing diversity of our population.
Then I asked Cope to talk just a bit about the issue of community input for the school board.
There are some particular issues in Urbana. It's a small district. We have one high school, one middle school, and so the campus for the high school and the middle school, which are adjacent to each other, is there's not as much space for playing fields as there is for most schools. We're considered undersupplied in those. And so the district has been looking at acquiring houses, expanding the campuses, because we're landlocked in Urbana, and there's houses all around the school campuses. But there have been some expansions recently that neighborhoods don't feel they've had enough say in. Effectively, what I'm seeing is not an adequate way for the community, the neighborhood, to have a conversation with the school board and develop a plan together.
What do you see as the appropriate relationship between the Urbana School Board and the Urbana City Council?
This is a very important relationship to look at, because city funding, the tax base, business development, property taxes are what fund the schools. And the school board has to come to the city council formally for certain issues. I've been at two meetings where the school board had to ask city council for support. And the city council has control over certain funding issues, and the school board needs to ask about these. And there are many financial ways that the school district and the city need to cooperate, can cooperate, and I think can expand their cooperation and do more planning together.
It's Monday night before the election. Why should people go out and vote tomorrow?
Tomorrow, the elections in Urbana and Champaign are municipal. We don't have any larger issues on there. But there are a number of issues that are very pressing for these communities. I have been finding, as I've gone from door to door, that a feeling I have, and it seems to be shared by people I talk to, is that the world issues are so pressing now that there is a relief in being able to focus on very specific things that we can do. There are very specific issues in our community. There are candidates talking about those issues. People, as I go door to door, really want to know what's going on. They really want to know how to choose between the candidates, what the issues are, what the difference is. And I find this enormously optimistic in a time when world events are weighing very heavily on everyone.
For IMC Radio News, this is Janet Lowry.
That until the basic human rights are equally guaranteed to all without regard to race, it is a war. That until that day, the dream of lasting peace. World citizenship, rule of international morality, will remain but a fleeting illusion to be pursued but never attained. Now everywhere is war. War.
Bob Marley's War here on IMC Radio News. Former Dead Kennedys frontman and spoken word artist Jello Biafra recently popped up again at the U of I campus, and IMC reporter Sam Packard was there to record the gospel according to Jello.
Our music and movies killing America's soul. I hope so.
Did you recognize that voice? That's right, the one and only Jello Biafra, the musician, spoken word artist, and political activist, returned to speak at Folger Auditorium on March 19th and indulge us with his own unique brand of bitter, informative satire. He touched on everything from the anthrax scare to his thoughts on Wesley Willis as the White House press secretary. If you happen to miss Jello this time, here's a little taste of what he had to say.
Anyway, pop quiz. What do George W. Bush, Dick Cheney, John Ashcroft, Jeb Bush, Joseph Lieberman, Ari Fleischer, Karl Rove, House Speaker Dennis Hastert, House Dictator Tom DeLay, Bill Clinton, Bill O'Reilly, Rush Limbaugh, Newt Gingrich, Kenneth Starr, Antonin Scalia, Wayne LaPierre, the head of the National Rifle Association, Sylvester Stallone, and Terminator Schwarzenegger all have in common? Oh my God, I'm telling you, school tonight, your hands are going up and everything. Don't worry about raising the hands, I'm about to give away the answer and everything. They all are chomping at the bit and frothing at the mouth for a new bloodbath in the Middle East, in Iraq, but not a damn one of them has ever served in the military. As you may have noticed, our cowboy president is kind of giving new meaning to the term March Madness. You know, he looked deathly ill on TV the other night. You know, he needed immediate medical attention for mad cowboy disease or something like that.
I didn't get much of Jell's 3-hour talk on tape, but I did capture his 2 cents on the Bush administration's environmental policies.
Let them drink arsenic. Let them choke on SUV smog. Bush now wants a tax break for people who buy Hummers and Ford Excursions and whatnot, the really big monster ones. And Bush said recently that the way to stop the forest fires that happened last summer is to cut the trees down. And they seriously said that we needed to go drill in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge to fight terrorism. That'll show them.
He also brought in a stack of magazines to give us some insight into our distinctly American pop culture.
Is global warming, is that a problem? No, you should be worrying about staying forever young. Or, even more importantly, who's gonna win on Survivor? It gets better. The week the UN voted for that resolution to attack Iraq last fall, which was a pretty heavy bit of historical news if you ask me, what is on the cover of Newspeak? Why TV is good for kids.
Jello runs Alternative Tentacles Records, a label which hosts a number of music acts as well as the spoken word albums he has been releasing for the past 20 or so years. His tours are as empowering and informative as they are mischievously entertaining, and this won't be the last time he stops by the U of I campus, so keep an eye out for him or visit AlternativeTentacles.com. This is Sam for IMC Radio News, leaving you with one last tidbit of insight on our great nation.
Democracy be damned.
And that wraps up IMC Radio News for this week. Contributors include Janet Lowry, Sam Packard, and Kevin Heinrich. If you'd like to help produce this program, no experience is necessary. Just drop us a line at radio@ucimc.org or call 344-8820 extension 1 and leave a message. Financial contributions are also welcome. You can drop a check to UCIMC, care of Radio News, 218 West Main Street, Urbana, Illinois, 61801. Archives of this program are available at www.ucimc.org. Taking us out this evening is our fearless leader in one of his rare truthful moments, as remixed by Ravers Against War. You can download this single from the Global IMC Radio website, radio.indymedia.org. The track is Leave Iraq. Let's hope we do. See you next week, and take care.
We have no ambition in Iraq. 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 We come to Iraq for a campaign on innocent men, women, and children, and restore control for the American military. The United States should leave Iraq immediately. We have no ambition in Iraq. The United States and other nations have defied Security Council resolutions demanding peaceful efforts to disarm the Iraqi regime again and again. The United States regime continues to possess and conceal some of the most lethal weapons ever devised. The United States has already used weapons of mass destruction against Iraq's people. The danger is clear. Using nuclear weapons and weapons of mass destruction and kill thousands or hundreds of thousands of innocent people. The lawless men who rule the United States will apply the full force and might of our military, and we will not be intimidated in the United Nations Security Council. The power of the United States to inflict harm on all free nations would be multiplied many times over. That is the future we choose. Our goal will not be achieved overnight, but it can come over time. We choose to meet that threat now, where it arises. We'll be war criminals, and may God continue to bless America. The United States should leave Iraq immediately. The security of the world requires disarming the United States now.
We have no ambition in Iraq. We have no ambition in Iraq. We have no ambition in Iraq. We have no ambition in Iraq.
We come to Iraq for a campaign on innocent men, women, and children, and restore control of the American military. A final atrocity, our common defense. The danger is clear. The American military has no regard for conventions of war or rules of morality. We come to Iraq for a campaign on innocent men, women, and children.
The United States must leave Iraq within 48 hours. The United States and other nations have defied Security Council resolutions demanding peaceful efforts to disarm the Iraqi regime again and again. The United States regime continues to possess and conceal some of the most lethal weapons ever devised. The United States has already used weapons of mass destruction against Iraq's people. The danger is clear. Using nuclear weapons and weapons of mass destruction and kill thousands or hundreds of thousands of innocent people. The lawless men who rule the United States will apply the full force and might of our military, and we will not be intimidated in the United Nations Security Council. The power of the United States to inflict harm on all free nations would be multiplied many times over. That is the future we choose. Our goal will not be achieved overnight, but it can come over time. We choose to meet that threat now, where it arises. We'll be war criminals, and may God continue to bless America.
We have no ambition in Iraq.
The security of the world requires disarming the United States now.
A final atrocity, our common defense.
The danger is clear. The American military has no regard for conventions of war or rules of morality. The United States should leave Iraq immediately. We have no ambition in Iraq.
War. 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 War.
We have no ambition in Iraq.
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 War.
The United States should leave Iraq immediately.